B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so Kyrie Irving sat down with Rachel Nichols of ESPN to do an interview on The Jump, talking about the Celtics in their first half. He talked about Jason Tatum, talked about Jalen Brown, Terry Rozier. He also talked about Mark Morris and his frustrations and the things that he said prior to the All-Star break. And talked about, over the course of, 4 or 5 minutes in this interview that has aired. And ESPN has put out pretty much everything about the Celtics this year and his impending free agency. So let's start with the Marcus Morris stuff. Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand Jones and Verzo. Here it is, Kyrie Irving on ESPN talking about Marcus Morris and his comments of a little more than a week ago.
Your teammate Marcus Morris did say that it hasn't been fun. It hasn't been fun even when we've been winning a lot. Have you felt that?
It's been a trying year for us, you know, because we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. And that's okay. But there's a maturity that you have to have. There's a professionalism that you have to really showcase every single day. And that's what the great ones do. You know, I ever initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like, why do I have to wait for anybody? You know, Terry Rozier is a, you know, he played in the playoffs. He did extremely well. Coming back, that's a natural competition that me and him have. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, no one wants to say it, but I will. It's part of their growth. When you have winning in mind, then, you know, you got to understand that. You got to do what it takes, but you got to understand your teammates.
Wow. So he's saying that there are young players that believe they are capable of more than they're actually capable of. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, more than they are capable of. Correct, yeah.
I want to play it one more time just so we get this right. Because that's what it sounded like. That they believe they're better than they actually are.
It's been a trying year for us, you know, because we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. And
okay, no, we heard it wrong. Yeah.
Capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's true. Not what they're capable of.
Believe they're better than what they've actually done. Wow, we heard that. I heard that wrong. I heard that backwards.
They can do more than what they're capable. They're capable of doing more than what they're doing right now.
Yes, and know it, and know that they can play better than what they've played.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a second he had said, they think they're capable of more than what they actually are capable of.
They are, yeah.
No, he's saying they know they're capable of more than what they've done, and that's why it's been a trying year.
Well, they proved it when they got to the Eastern Conference Finals without you, Kyrie. They proved it.
Well, that's what he said.
Well, he wasn't there to see that, though. So
that's a good point. Yeah, Kyrie, you weren't there in Game 7. Maybe you don't know how it turned out, but they were leading. They didn't win.
And the thing
leading.
About there's a natural, you know, there's a competition between him and Terry Rozier. According to who? And what have we seen that would indicate that's even true?
Well, I
competition there.
I hear
Kyrie blows him out of the water. It's not even close.
I hear him talking about minutes, and that's just patently false. Like, I went back and looked. Kyrie's never played less than 30 minutes in his career, including his rookie year when he played 31 minutes a night. 30.5. I'm going to round up. 31 minutes a night. To compare that to Jalen Brown or Terry Rozier, Tatum, that would be a fair comparison. I mean, Tatum's played 30-plus in both his seasons. To compare that to Jalen Brown or Terry Rozier is just apples to oranges. Jalen Brown played 17 minutes as a rookie. He's playing 26 minutes a night now. Terry Rozier played 8 minutes, then 17 minutes. Now he's playing 23 minutes a night. Like, to compare what they're doing on limited minutes to you playing more than 30 minutes a night every year for your career, that's just not analogous. That's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
I ever initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like, why do I have to wait for anybody? You know, Terry Rozier is it.
Yeah, Terry Rozier plays 23 minutes. You've never played less than 30, 31 if you want to round up. So that's not a good comparison. Like he's like, oh yeah, I understood. I waited my turn. No, you didn't. You were on an awful Cavs team. You played 30 minutes a night. Has he ever even come off the bench? Like, has Kyrie Irving ever not started? No, he started every game of his career. 488 out of 488. You don't know Kyrie. So to be like, oh, well, I did it. I did what they're doing. No, you didn't. They're coming off the bench. They're playing way less minutes than you ever played. That's just not a good comparison.
No one wants to say it, but I will.
I feel that way from time to time.
No one wants to say it. That's Jones's tagline in life. No one wants to say it, but I will. I'll say it.
No one wants to say it, but I will.
Right. Yeah. So, no one wants to say you've never come off the bench, Kyrie.
Yeah, I don't know where
I'll
that comes from.
All-star game.
Yeah,
that's only 25 minutes.
No one wants to say it. You're right. No one wants to say it because they wouldn't even have thought to say that.
Yeah.
Because that would have never have occurred to anybody. He is asked about free agency. And this is obviously a very important thing when it comes to Kyrie Irving right now. What does he say?
You made some headlines, too, when you talked about your own journey forward and your free agency. And you were just going to do what is best for you at the time when it comes. Mm-hmm. What is it like to have everybody talking about you and talking about this all of the time? The last time you went to go win a title, 2016, yeah. You didn't have all this going on. Now you're going to try to win a title, and the talk's going to be there the whole time.
Well, the talk's going to stop. I mean, the talks follow the great players in the league, and I'm appreciative and grateful to be one of those great players in our league now. I've worked my way to get here. And honestly, all that goes with the free agent talk is really a distraction, and a lot of people don't realize on the outside that, a lot of things that are said get into the locker rooms. Like, a lot of things that are put in headlines get into the locker rooms. Like, media has broken up locker rooms. Like, it's been done before. Like, where you say something and it's misinterpreted, and instead of addressing it with the person or individual, like human interaction, you read it on your phone. Like, you read it on a text. Somebody says that, hey, did you see what this person said about you and it's your teammate? And you're like, wait, I didn't hear that. And then you hold back. You don't say anything to them. And then throughout the season, it ends up coming out again. And it's just like, man, that's not the way life is supposed to go. It's a unique position, but I'm appreciative that I can have this understanding now. So, man, it's fun, but at the same time, goodness, it's energy taxing.
Oh.
Oh.
Your energy's a little low?
Oh.
Try a coffee. Get a little caffeine in there. So we got
a Red Bull.
we got some confirmation about something that we were talking about earlier, like, oh, why does Brad talk about Kyrie the way he talks about Kyrie? Because Kyrie sees it all.
Because Kyrie sees everything.
Because mm-hmm. I better call him a six-time All-Star before he's 26, because somebody's going to tell Kyrie about it if he doesn't see it.
Well, someone's going to tweet it. He sees it on his phone. He's going to get on his phone. He's going to see exactly what I said about him today.
So you just got that answer.
There it is.
I think he said directly he listens to Tim McCone's headlines. I think I heard that right. I hear the headlines.
Those headlines, which, again, every guy in the NBA will tell you, come out of nowhere. They're all just made up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The media needs something, so they just make them up. Yep. So Shams makes it up. Yep. Sean Devaney, Sporting News, makes it up. Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski, fake news, full of crap. He makes it up.
Yep.
All these guys that cover the NBA, liars. They all make it up. Mm-hmm. Gary Washburn, Boston Globe, makes it up.
Yep, liar, yep.
Liar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what every guy in the league will tell you. And they just use this general term, media, because it's easy. It's lazy is what it is.
Yeah.
So great. No, start calling them out by name. Yeah, do it. Because if you watch them, with each other, when apparently Kyrie Irving is pissed off about and the Celtics are mad about the idea that he's going to the Knicks and they don't like all these rumors and these get into the locker room and they could ruin our team. It came from you guys.
Yeah.
It came from you, your agents. You talk to everybody.
Yeah.
A league where everyone's talking. This is where you sit down with Rachel Nichols for 20 minutes and shoot the breeze and tell her whatever she wants.
Yeah, this news becomes
what are you talking about?
This news that I'm sitting here down for right now actually is going to become a giant distraction. Well, no, you don't have to do it.
You don't have to do the interview.
You don't have to do it, Kyrie. You don't have to sit down and have the interview that's going to create a larger distraction.
I want them doing the interviews.
No,
I like
course.
When they do the interviews.
Of course, so does he, though.
Just don't turn around and just blame it on other people.
No, Kyrie, keep doing interviews. I'm not saying stop. What I'm saying is to sit there and be like, oh, well, it's such a big distraction. You're causing it all.
Anthony Davis over the weekend sat there and said, I never said the Celtics weren't on my list.
Yeah.
I never said that. And then said all 29 teams are on his list, which is foolish, which is moronic. We know that's not true.
The Kings.
He's going to the Kings.
Magic.
And then what does he do?
Salt Lake City.
It's all made up. It's all start. Wait a minute. Hold on. It's all. So Shams, liar, made it up.
Mm-hmm.
He made that up.
Well, you got to find all his. You got to pay for his work. So maybe he doesn't quite know what Shams said.
You see Shams, Anthony, go right up to him and say, you're a liar and you made it up. And you know why he won't do that? Because he's not a liar and he didn't make it up. And oh, by the way, he's probably going to dap it up with Shams and be like, hey, I'll get you at my next leak in a few days. Because that's the games they play in this league.
the more and more he's defensive like this, and more I think it's coming from his camp.
Of course it is.
It's not coming from like other places. Like it's the Rich Paul thing and all this stuff. No, the more and more he's defensive about it, it's like he's defending himself for his teammates, saying, going in the locker room, listen, I just talked about you. I just talked about the media and how bad they were. When in hindsight, like he's the one who's actually done it.
Right, because if he had to face it, he'd be in there and his teammates would be looking at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah, can you believe
that? Can you believe they're making all this stuff up?
Can you
believe they're trying to divide us, guys.
Can you believe the media made up that I talked to everyone on July 1st? Can you believe the media said that I don't know anyone crap? Can you believe the media said that I said that? What a bunch of dinks. Can't believe it.
Can you believe the media made up all those quotes of that time I went down to New York and sat down with all the media down there in a nice round table, an off-season New York basketball round table? Oh, I was promoting my movie. But, yeah, we just happened to talk a little hoops.
Could you believe
they made that up?
Can you believe the media said I yelled at Brad and then Gordon Hayward at the end of that game in Orlando? Could you believe the media said that about me?
If he had said, listen, don't believe all this stuff, I'm staying here, then I would believe him. He's saying, listen, don't believe all this stuff. And you know what? For you guys making all this stuff up, I'm going to wait till July 1st to make a decision.
You'll hear from me July 1st.
Now you're punished. Media, you're punished. I'm not making a decision until July 1st.
Yeah, sure. Can you believe about the media?
Can you believe that, Gordon? They said I yelled at you, Gordon, in Orlando. Can you believe they said that about me?
Nonsense. I hope people are smart enough not to believe this crap.
Yeah.
And not believe him or Anthony Davis or any of these guys. They all seem pretty friendly with one another. They're all mad at each other for all the leaks. You'd think they'd go to the All-Star game and be pissed off at each other. It didn't look that way.
Can you believe the media said I was talking and flirting with Kevin Durant the whole time? Can you believe the media said that? I didn't do that. What are you talking about?
Two max contracts.
Maybe that's what he was saying to Durant. I planted two stories. Two stories.
I gave two stories. 617-779-0985. Let's jump back to your calls coming up next.
Now, a look at the numbers with the Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
It's the first of their two matchups over the next 2.5 weeks. Number one Duke is favored by 9 tonight, hosting number 8 North Carolina. The over-under is 166.5. Also tonight, the Bruins are on the road, even money underdogs visiting the Vegas Golden Knights. Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas are the 10-1 co-favorites to win the World Golf Championship event that starts tomorrow in Mexico City. Rory McIlroy is 12-1. Tiger Woods is among those at 20-1. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I would tell you this. I know Kyrie and Kevin are good friends, like, you know, and just like a lot of guys in the league, people have grown up playing against each other and playing with each other and everything else. And so I don't even think twice about things like that. You know, I think that ultimately, you know, it's a great, great honor for those guys to get chosen to play in the NBA All-Star game. And I hope, you know, and I've talked to Kyrie about this. I hope he always appreciates the honor it is, because I think that, you know, when you're a 6-time All-Star, by the time you're 26, those things are really hard to achieve, and he has continuously risen his game. And so I think he should go and enjoy that weekend and see old friends and all that stuff. So I don't even think twice about all that.
Brad Stevens earlier today here on Zolak and Bertrand with Adam Jones in for Zill, McCone in for Hardy. 617-779-0985. And I just hope that Kyrie Irving appreciates how much we appreciate him.
I mean, it's so
that's
amazing.
That's how I boiled down that answer.
He's a 6-time All-Star before 26. That's such an awesome accomplishment. I hope he knows we appreciate it. And then Kyrie reads it on his phone in like an hour.
Yes. He's like, oh. I don't envy the position that Brad Stevens is in.
No, me either.
I don't envy
you. You have to compromise. Oh, you have to compromise all your values to bend over backwards for this guy.
Yes.
Yeah, which is why I wish they had a little more spine and a little more backbone. That's what I wish. They're the Celtics. You're not You're not the Milwaukee Bucks. You're not the Orlando Magic. Like, you know, you should be able.
There's wow. I didn't know that Jones had a tinge of the Celtics delusional. The delusional view of the Celtics.
It's not just the Celtics. The Lakers should be able to do that. Like there are franchises that should be able to sell it and say, look, here, we're going to do things a little differently.
Listen,
because we are different.
The Celtics are different in that they have a remarkable storied history. They're in a great sports town. They play,
right.
You know, they play for a team that is owned by great owners that are committed to winning and committed to spending their money.
Sure.
They have a GM that knows what he's doing. Okay, and they've got a coach who players should like and should want to play hard for. They've got all the boxes are checked, so it's a good place. You should want to play here.
Right, so you should be allowed to act a little more forceful with a superstar here. You should be.
I just disagree because I don't think that there are any real true superstars left. Not.
I mean, when you ask who else you could push back on a little bit, maybe Steph Curry, and that's because that's somebody who was a bit of an underdog. Like I'm trying to think, could you push back on Giannis? Maybe you could. I don't know enough about him, but like the other names you mentioned, Durant, hell no. Like LeBron, of course not. And maybe Kyrie's not that kind of guy either. But I think they do exist. I think Curry would. I wonder about Giannis. I don't know enough about him.
I also think you have to consider the contract situation and where a player is in that contract situation. Approaching free agency. What team wouldn't do it the way the Celtics, I think, are doing it now? And I think they're smart for doing it this way. I think they're trying to play to his likes and how he likes to be treated.
I just hope they keep him. Because if they did...
And I think right now they're doing their work to try and keep him. Well, and I say, good for you. That they're doing the right things.
I hope you do. Or else you compromise everything else in the meantime. You don't set any boundaries for Kyrie, then Jason Tatum isn't going to respect any boundaries. Jaylen Brown's not going to respect any boundaries. So to me, that's a dangerous precedent to set.
I don't think it's that dangerous.
I do.
I think what's more dangerous is losing Kyrie.
Well, that's
more dangerous.
It's not an ideal scenario either. But again, you may be 0-2.
You pass that off like it's no big deal.
Okay, but you pass off that they may lose Kyrie anyway. Like, you're just ignoring that. Like, they might lose him anyway, and now you have no boundaries
except
set.
Except if you lose Kyrie, you've got the entire new set of problems of you don't have a roster that can actually win the championship anymore. You don't.
Okay.
And that's a completely different problem to have that could take years to solve.
Okay. But if you have Tatum, and hopefully Tatum's not walking all over the organization like this guy does, then you're ahead of where you would be otherwise. That's my point.
Okay, here's another question. How do you know you haven't already lost him?
Okay, you might have. Because
who cares?
Because you've had no boundaries with Kyrie for a year and a half. Kyrie walked all over him last year, too. He didn't even show up to game seven for his teammates
if it's too late anyway and it's already the case, what's the diff?
Okay, well, they should have set boundaries a long time ago is my point. Kyrie. You don't
water
have to go,
under
don't,
the bridge,
don't
Jones.
Go to, don't
you
go
can't
to game
bring
seven.
It back.
Okay, but they're still
you
doing
can't
it.
Go back in time.
They're still doing it, which is still annoying.
Oh, no. I think now would be the appropriate time to start clamping down and really getting strict and really setting those appropriate boundaries.
Again,
are you out of your mind?
Well, when he doesn't even have to
you're
show
out of
up.
Your mind.
When he doesn't have to show. You're out of your mind for defending Kyrie. You're defending.
No, I'm defending the Boston Celtics.
I'm defending
the Boston Celtics for their actions. I believe that the way they are operating now is the right way.
Nope.
You don't.
No.
You're saying that they should have set boundaries.
They're acting like every other organization.
And their lack of coming down.
And they shouldn't. They shouldn't act like every other organization. They're not every organization.
And I would say, unfortunately, and this is why I think you're partially delusional, I don't think that enough players care about the Celtics.
They might not.
Good situation or their fan base or what they've got going on here.
I thought the Celtics.
I don't think the players now are more concerned. You're hearing about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving teaming up to go play for that fool, James Dolan,
yep.
and the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
That is sad.
That is sad.
Because it's a better place to sell sneakers.
Okay, because Kyrie doesn't respect it.
So you want to go to a place that doesn't have the owner, doesn't have the front office, doesn't have the coach. They've got Jack.
Because Kyrie doesn't respect it. I thought the Celtics respected it. Like, I thought Ainge and ownership and Brad, I thought they respected it.
But
maybe Kyrie doesn't. Maybe other stars don't.
In a league where the stars don't care.
Some stars. Again, I'm not sure all stars don't. I'd say most. More than some. Most. I'm not sure it's all. Kyrie probably doesn't. But again, Kyrie might leave anyway. So just now you've compromised your standards and you've lost Kyrie. Nice situation. Nice job bending over backwards for him. Good job. You've accomplished a lot there. Let Kyrie walk in, still have no boundaries, and you've been walked all over by a superstar who, like you said, to that dolt, James Dolan in New York, you march down there. Congratulations. It looks like you played your cards right with Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm saying by doing it this way, you're giving yourself a shot. You do it your way, Jones, you've got no shot. You're out, and you've already lost. And what was the point of the last 2 years? Josh is in Haverhill. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Beetle, Jonesy, McBone, Lousy. First off, before we get to Celtics and Bees, you're lousy, absolutely. Jonesy, daytime Jonesy has absolutely lost it as far as the Patriots go. You know Trey Flowers isn't getting that $15 million deal. I'd rather give it to Gostkowski. On to the Celtics and Bruins.
He might not get it. I just think they should give it to him. They probably won't, but they should.
I know what you're saying.
Josh, are you saying he won't get it anywhere else either?
Oh, no, he'll definitely get it somewhere else.
All right, so you're talking specifically Patriots.
But on to the Celtics and Bees. I mean, definitely the Bees have the better chance of winning the Stanley Cup compared to the Celtics winning the finals because there is no team like the Warriors in the NHL. I mean, who leads the Western Conference in the NHL? The Calgary Flames. I mean, who are the Calgary Flames? I mean, Pasternak's out. McAvoy's coming back to form. I think the Bees look good.
Okay. It's going to be a neat I don't think the Bruins can get out of the second round, so that's a neat trick to pull. But I agree. I mean, the Celtics probably have zero shot to win the title, so technically by default, the Bruins have a better chance to win the Cup just because of the sport.
Who's a more talented roster?
The Celtics.
Yeah, not even close.
Not even. Okay. Not even close.
So this has been my point for the last few weeks, and that is the Celtics have the talent to be capable of winning the NBA title. They do.
They have the talent to push Golden State.
But nothing about their season would indicate
that
they are maximizing that talent. And that talent is capable of actually making it to the finals and winning.
Correct. Yeah, I'd agree with all that.
Right. So I'm with you. And by virtue of the NHL being the way that it is, where you can get hot at the right time, go on a run, and sort of everyone...
Well, the Bruins...
It always feels this way, whether it's
The Bruins have to play the best team in the NHL in the second round. The Celtics at least get to wait until the championship if they got there.
True. I would just say that by the nature of the NHL, it feels like if you get in, you've got a shot.
Yeah,
right.
But that doesn't mean you really do. It feels like you do, but it doesn't. But it doesn't mean you really do.
If the Bruins go on a hot streak like they've been on right now in a 7-game series, even if it's the best team in the entire league, you got a shot.
Sure.
It's not like the NBA, Jones, you're facing the best team in the second round and they've got home court, you've got no shot.
Yeah,
in the NHL,
you know what else it means?
At least you've got a shot.
Sure. You know what else it means? No one ever says this. People always say it that way. You know what else it means? If you're a higher seed, you have a better chance of getting picked off too. So the Celtics, I'd say they have almost no shot of getting picked off by a low seed, you know, if they're the 4 seed, right?
True.
So, you know, the way it works in the NBA, if you're a better team, you're probably going to go deep. You could be really good in the NHL in the regular season and get picked off.
And not go deep.
Which means bad things for Tampa. People always rationalize it for their own team. They're like, maybe the Bruins could beat Tampa. You know, maybe the Bruins just get picked off earlier. Maybe that's all that means. The nature of your sport means you could get picked off earlier.
Absolutely.
That would never happen in the NBA. Rarely happens in the NBA.
Right.
That's all.
I don't disagree.
I think
we're making the same point.
If the best,
I'm making it in a positive fashion. You're making it in a very negative fashion.
If the best thing you can say,
it's the same point. Glass half full or half empty.
If the best thing you can just say is just it's just the sport. That means you're not really making a good point for your team. That's really probably the worst point you can make for your team because every team that sneaks into the playoffs can make that same point.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh yeah.
Wrong song.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Bruins are clicking right now, Jones. Things are going well for them.
6 in a row, wow.
Vegas tonight. I don't know if you know about this Vegas trip of theirs, but they left San Jose and went straight to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they got in late at night after the game a couple of nights ago.
Bruins make all their guys go?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Celtics, you don't have to go.
Pasternak probably happy to go.
Well, I don't know if there's a whirlpool out there in San Jose.
That's a good point.
Pasternak, do they have a hot tub?
Pasternak probably didn't go. That's a good point. Fair point. Yeah. Well, it's bad weather in a whirlpool.
Oh, God. Jones is never going to let this go. So here's the schedule. So they left San Jose late Monday night. They get to Vegas late Monday night. And then they're in Vegas for all day on Tuesday, all night last night. They're there tonight against the Knights. What do you think they're going to do? Their next game is Saturday at St. Louis. What would you assume the case may be?
Oh, another night.
They're not leaving Vegas tonight. And I was told as of last week, they're not even leaving Vegas tomorrow.
Oh, man. Pasternak's so pissed.
I believe the plan is they are going to fly to St. Louis Friday, which means they will have been in Vegas for three full days, and they will have been there for Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night.
What's the general rule of thumb?
4 nights.
What's the general rule of thumb on Vegas? What's too long?
Never more than 4 days.
So they're right up against it.
Oh, yeah. I've done it, man. I've gone for 5-6 days. The last 2 days are just not even enjoyable at that point. You're broke.
You're drunk. You want St. Louis.
You need.
St. Louis sounds lovely at that point.
You need to get high. St. Louis sounds amazing.
You're like, oh my God,
and
get me to St. Louis.
You ever been to St. Louis?
I have only laid over.
Blows.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
Not a place you want to be for any extended period of time.
Nope. I would be like the Rams. I would be like the Rams. Out of there. That's what I would be like.
A hotel room with 14 cases of bottled water in it in St. Louis? That's what I need right now. So from what I understand, they're not leaving Vegas until Friday. Maybe that's changed.
So what do you think? What do you think that means for tonight? A little flat?
Vegas flu? I don't know.
Vegas, I believe. I'll double check this now. I don't think Vegas has been the same home team they were last year.
No, they have not.
Vegas this year at home, still good. 17-9-3. Last year it was something ridiculous, though.
What a trip, though.
Last year Vegas was 29-10-2.
You know they went out when they got there from San Jose.
Of course, they're there 4 days, of course.
Of course they got there. As soon as they landed, they're
they got out of the armpit of San Jose, and they're like, yeah, we're going out in Vegas.
In the hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
But the bags, they probably got there, what, 1 a.m. local time?
That's plenty of time.
Right? I don't know. How long's the flight from San Jose to Vegas?
I don't know. What's San Fran to Vegas? Same thing, roughly.
Well, I'm trying to do a little math there. Let's
3 hours?
Hour and 25 minutes.
That's it? Jesus.
Yep. Hour and 25 minutes. And it says here, some flights get there in 1 hour. 1 hour flat.
There you go.
So that's a quick, short flight. They probably got the hell out of San Jose as fast as they could.
I would hope.
On that lovely chartered flight, that their plane that they own. They own their own plane. They lease it, whatever it is. Oh, you know they went out.
Of course. You know
they hit the town as soon as they got in.
Well, there's a reason they're there 4 straight days. It's not to go see Cirque du Soleil.
No, they're not into the Beatles' love.
I mean, maybe. I'm guessing most of the team is, and I shouldn't rule out everyone.
All right, so this Bruins team, 6-0.
Chara strikes me as a Cirque du Soleil guy. Yeah. Maybe he's taking it in. He seems cultured. He's
the adult in the room.
Yeah, he's got high-end taste. Maybe Chara's taking a little Cirque du Soleil.
A little Celine Dion or something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, her residence. How often are you going to get to see her?
So, anyway, this team, should they go for it? Should they try and make a deal for a real player? Should they go for top-end talent as opposed to something else? And there have been rumors. There are Bruins trade rumors. There are names that are starting to float around. How should they approach this? Because if it's a rental, I don't know how good I feel about that.
Okay, would you?
For the reason that I don't think they're a favorite. I don't think they're winning the cup.
So I don't either.
And I don't know.
But there's something to be said for giving it your best effort. And like, I'm not giving up. And this is even before the way DeBrusque is playing. I probably wouldn't have included. It's easy to say now, in other words. I don't think I'm including DeBrusque in any deal for a rental, even Panarin. And that's probably what it takes, so maybe, fine, you don't get Panarin. But I keep reading. Like, Haggerty keeps writing. Don Sweeney doesn't want to include a first-round pick. What? Why? Include the first-round pick. How high is that pick going to be anyway? Include the first-round pick to go get a rental. And I don't know who that rental is going to be. Is it Mark Stone? Is it, you know, Wayne Simmonds, who I'm a little more down on as an acquisition? He's not had a great year. I'd give up the first-round pick to do the same thing they did with Rick Nash last year. I wouldn't be afraid of the first-round pick. I'd be afraid of giving up someone like DeBrusque. If it's, you know, Sinishin or someone like that, I got to throw into a deal. Like, of course, I'll give him other prospects. I'd like to keep DeBrusque on the roster. Heinen, I'd think about. DeBrusque, no. not for a rental.
Simmons is a rental.
All three of those guys I mentioned are rentals. Stone's a rental, isn't he? All three of those guys are rentals.
All of them are unrestricted free agents. They're all rental players.
Mm-hmm.
I would just think long and hard about which guy I'm going to think about doing those deals for.
I do it for the guys.
Does any of the guys you named put you over the top and make you that much better of a contender?
Oh, it makes you a better contender.
I'm saying that much where all of a sudden you're saying, oh, they're really in the mix now.
Like, the problem is they have to go through Tampa, which is, you know, the Warriors of the NBA, not with the winning, but just with the assembled talent.
What the hell is Pastrnak's prognosis?
Yep, that's fair.
Which has to factor into this.
Yep.
If you think you're getting him back, then I'd be more likely to do a deal. Does that make sense?
I think he's going
to
be.
Which is, you might think is backwards. Well, if you're going to be without him, then you need to do. No, if he's healthy and you know you're getting him back.
This piece puts you over the top.
That, to me, makes the piece more valuable because your team's going to be that much better and you know you're getting Pastrnak. And that, to me, would make me more willing to do a deal, not less.
So my answer is I do the best deal I can without including DeBrusk for a rental. So if that means a first-round pick and maybe even something like Heinen, which I don't think is enough to get Panarin, maybe it's enough to get Stone, then yes, I do that. Yes, I do that.
I don't think that would hurt you in a big way.
No, me either.
But that, again, is based on what you give back, and I just feel like it's going to cost them more than that. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
if that's what the ask is, I wouldn't be upset with that.
What if that gets you Simmons? I do that. And
I like Wayne Simmons. I've always liked Wayne Simmons.
Okay, he's got a little bit of David Backus going on where...
Yeah, he's getting old. He's been around a long time, too.
You probably like the idea of Wayne Simmons more than you actually like what he is.
Correct. Right now.
If you dig in on his numbers are not good this year. Now, maybe if he's in Boston, it's the right fit. He's rejuvenated in a playoff push. Like, I understand all that, but he's got a little of the David Backus going on. The difference is you only got to commit for half a year, not for 5 years like the Bruins did with Backus.
Right.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
I was told he's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole tire tryout as far as what happened today with him so we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved? He f***ed his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything, so... enough. He's not playing tonight.
No, did you find out early in the morning or did you?
It doesn't matter. He's not playing tonight. Are you doing a time scale or something?
Just
or?
Didn't know what time.
No. It would be he's sick. He's sick as a dog. Yes, he's very sick. That's why he's out.
It's not because he's getting traded, guys. At least not yet. It's nice. Because he went number two in his pants.
He f***ed his pants.
I mean, thanks. Thanks, John. We were
Have you ever been that sick?
We were wondering.
Happened like that?
No.
In your pants?
No. I mean, maybe. You, I don't know if I was like four, but no, I don't think so.
Have you ever been sick so bad that both things are happening at the same time? Because I've been there.
Yes.
But I didn't.
Not in my pants.
Pants. I mean.
Toilet in the trash bucket.
Yes, all at once.
Yep.
That's when you know you are really sick. Really sick. I've had been like that badly sick once in my life.
Hungover or something. Yeah.
No, sure. Not hungover. Like you caught something. That doesn't happen when you're hungover.
Yeah.
Both of those things at the same time?
Yeah,
from being hungover? What the hell were you drinking?
You're not feeling great. You're not feeling great sometimes.
What the hell, Jones?
Sometimes you just got to flush things.
What do you guys do at those Northeastern parties?
Sometimes you just got to. Yes. You got to go back to neutral, if you know what I'm saying.
There was a lot of cocaine that was cut with baby formula, and then I was drinking all night, and then it just led to messy.
Sometimes you just need to go back to neutral.
You got to clean out the system.
Yeah.
You got to do a full reboot.
Yes, exactly. Precisely, yeah.
A cleanse, yep. If you will.
Yeah.
This reminded you of another clip from years ago.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, if we're talking diarrhea clips, then I feel like there's one that I would put sort of on a pedestal above all others. I like to rank things like this. I would say that we like to talk about goats in Boston. The goat diarrhea clip of all time. The greatest of all time is Chan Ho Park.
Yes. 2010 is when it happened. His first start of the 2010 season, he was absolutely lit up. Mm-hmm. He got crushed. And then 3 days later, he pitched again and was great. So people were asking him, what the hell happened? Why were you so bad? You know, why were you so bad the first time out and why'd you get good? And
I think you had a good answer.
I think it was Joe Torre at the time, right? He was still the manager in 2010.
Was that Girardi?
Might have been.
Girardi won 2009, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that was that long ago. It was 10 years ago the Yankees won with you.
The intern told us earlier. We're really old. We know. We got
Joe Girardi. Sorry. They had 95 wins that year, 2010. Good year. Girardi said, well, he'd been sick. So then they go to the reporter. The reporters do their due diligence.
Yeah.
They got to go ask Chan Park.
This is, if you ask me, great reporting.
Girardi,
this is good reporting.
Said you were sick. What was the deal?
Yeah.
I was sick? Well, just, I had a lot of diarrhea. That's what you want to know?
Your manager said you were sick.
Yeah, I had a diarrhea.
No. I threw away my
mom. Yeah, I had a diarrhea and then...
What are you guys getting?
Why? Why is it funny?
No.
I mean... Save it. Yeah, the off day. I had a lot of diarrhea. So.
That one reporter, is it a reporter or another player?
I think it's his teammates.
I think it might be another player.
You can see like Mo Rivera in the background, like cracking up. That's not Mo, but
he's standing in his locker stall. There's players all over the place that are listening. And he legit, and poor guy, you know, obviously not speaking in his first language.
Well, I mean, poor guy.
He's telling you exactly what happened.
He's real sick.
He's like, why, what's so funny about this?
I had a lot of diarrhea.
Oh, it is Mo Rivera laughing in the background. He's one of the laughs.
He's like giggling, but I don't think he's the one losing it that you can audibly hear. I don't think. But
Rivera's laughing, though. He's still.
I think Rivera's laughing at the guy that's laughing.
Maybe.
And Rivera's putting his pants on listening to
Ferris is like, Chan Ho. There's nothing sacred, Chan Ho.
That's what you want to know?
Your manager said you were sick.
Yeah, I had a diarrhea.
He's like,
no.
He's like incredulous. He's like, what aren't you guys getting? What's funny about this?
I just remember when that came out and how many times it was played on this time slot on this station.
Honestly, it's some of the...
Zoll losing his mind.
That's a good clip. It's some of the better reporting done on that beat in quite some time, I'd say.
On the Yankee beat?
Like, that's getting to the bottom of things, yeah.
You said you were sick. What was it?
That's why That's why you go to journalism school, I think, is to get you on answers.
Capital J journalism school.
That's why you go there. Let's get some answers. Let's not leave anything to the mind, right? Let's not sick. He wasn't ill. What happened? That's what people want to know. That's why you go to journalism school. That's what good journalists get to the bottom of and figure out. Good job by them.
Let's jump back to your phones. Brad's in New Hampshire, a leftover Twitch item. What do you got for us, Brad?
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, so I'm 28, and I think the thing with my generation with the whole Twitch and how we're kind of okay with it is that we were growing up with it. So for us, it was just another form of entertainment, something that, you know, that's just how it is. People do that. But the thing is, like, I don't look at it. I never paid for anybody to do it, but I've watched people stream and all that. But I wouldn't call it like a scam or anything. It's just, if you're good at what you're doing and you're funny, you're entertaining, that why not? You know, I don't see a problem with that, but it's just something that I think the older generation just doesn't kind of get. But there is probably a rabbit hole there, which I would call something that you guys could probably look up called pity streamers. That's the whole problem that I probably have.
These are work computers. So pity
what was
streamers.
That? Yeah.
Nice try. I'm not punching that in on a work computer.
I'm not Googling that one.
Yeah, right.
But that's probably what I would call something that's a problem. But like anything, like I said, it's not just as easy as just kind of turning on and going. You know, these people, they're good. And some people are just generally funny, entertaining people that, you know, why not? And it's just because I think that it's not what you guys are kind of probably brought up with that makes it a bit, you know, odd. But it's just another thing that probably later in my future I'm going to look at going, how the heck do these people find that?
Yeah, no, the only thing I find odd, Brad, nothing about it strikes me as odd other than there is no, you know, mandated fee, if you will, that it's all on donations.
You can drop donos.
Dropping donos.
That's what Chan Ho Park was doing.
I mean, that to me is just, that one I have a hard time wrapping my head around. Why are you paying this guy if no one's asking you to pay the guy? I mean, there's no, it's not required for you to pay to get the content. Right?
Yeah.
That would be no different than right now, this show saying, hey, we're open for donations.
Yeah.
It's no difference. Free
content. Maybe that's the slight difference between the age groups, because you are a Napster guy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Napster versus Apple Music people.
Oh, yeah.
You're paying for music and not paying for music. Paying for streaming, not
Jones,
paying for streaming.
Our age group, right? So I would say like 30, let's say like 32 to 38 right now, right? That like 6-year window.
Sure.
Right? everyone that's around our age liked to steal music.
Yeah.
They knew at least one person that was stealing cable.
Yeah.
They sure. You know, they don't want, they called
saying,
BMG Music Club and had the 12 CDs for a penny mailed to a neighbor's house. I mean, that was our generation.
Yep.
Was how do we scam somebody, right?
I was waiting all night for my DMX download.
Right.
Then I'd wake up
you
the next
day. You'd wake up, internet connection, look, damn
come
it!
On!
The modem! Ma! Why'd you pick up the phone?
Dad, you made a phone call?
I was downloading a song!
My DMX was like, it was a 12-hour download! I was trying to download the whole It's Dark and Hell is Hot. What the hell? Dad?
It's like Gordon Hayward with
did
his wife.
Did you see DMX is doing a 20th anniversary tour for that album?
No. Where?
Coming to the House of Blues.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's planning on it. I feel like...
you don't know if he's actually going to show.
I feel like...
They're selling tickets for it.
I feel like he is. He is a little tough to trust in that regard, but that's... there you go.
Pretty good, right?
Just that album?
Yeah. That's the plan from what I could tell.
I can go for a little Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, too.
Flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood.
I want to mix that
in. You can do that.
Anything after that.
The last time I did the DMX voice on this show, I blew out a vocal cord. Like 3-4 years ago.
My DMX sounds a lot like my Ja Rule. They're it's basically the same impression. One you have to sing a little more.
Yeah, but that is, I'm like, wait, why are you donating money to this person? You're not required to give this guy any money.
Nope.
The content's free. Why would you donate to pay for the content?
Because we've been stealing music since we were.
Giving this guy any money? Why am I giving him money?
Well,
if it was something you really liked, right? And there was a subscription, I could see that. Like Netflix is a subscription.
Sure. It's,
they do really well.
Sure.
All the music services, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all the kids now pay for subscriptions. They're used to paying subscription fees. If there was a way to steal it now, our generation would steal it, Jones. That's just what we did.
Not dropping $100 dono.
Certainly not giving a dono.
$100 dono,
Mr.
please.
What's his name? Dr. Disrespect.
I could drop donos.
I mean, hey.
Panarin.
Great. That's, great job.
Hey,
sounds like you're an entertaining guy.
Why is
sounds like
out?
The masses enjoy your work. I don't know why they're paying you for it if they don't have to.
They have to because he reads it. He reads what they say.
So what?
He won't read it if you don't pay.
So what?
Well, there you go.
You could still watch him and be entertained without paying him.
Sure. But then he doesn't say
that's
what.
That's like you turn on the, you know.
He doesn't say what you want
you
him to say.
You turn on TV tonight and you're like, I'm going to send the guy, you know, hosting this show a donation.
Sure.
For what?
I don't know. They say what you want them to say. If you think it's funny.
What for?
I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I understand someone wanting to do it. He's going to yell what I want really loud. All I got to pay is $100.
You know what? This started with like PBS. They started this crap. This is what it is. It's like a spinoff of Channel 2.
You're focused on all the wrong things. We need to figure out how to monetize this for sports radio.
How have we not done this?
It's based on performance, though. It's not based on like... You're doing it for a good cause. You're just, he did a good job.
Yeah,
good job.
Right. PBS
he's like
is
throwing tips at
PBS
him.
PBS is raising money for something. Right. We need it for like sports takes. That's what we need. Hey, you know what?
I get the difference.
You guys aren't talking enough Bruins. Why don't you start talking Bruins?
Well, next segment's open for a dono. You want to cash.
You want to dono a hundo? Well, maybe we'll start talking a little more Bruins. otherwise, you're stuck with, you know. Channel Bark audio.
Hey, we want more Sox talk. Where are the Red Sox?
Why aren't you guys talking Red Sox?
I don't know.
Where's all that beanpot talk?
Maybe a couple donos. We can get to that.
Yep.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.